Christian greetings to each one this evening in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here with you all and share in this worship service tonight. Indeed, we are a blessed people. We find ourselves living in a land of freedom, enjoying religious freedoms. I was thinking about that today as I was going about my duties and thinking about the blessing of the freedoms that we have, and my mind also went to the freedom that we then have in Christ Jesus as well, being sons and daughters of His tonight, blood-washed saints who can live with peace and joy in our lives, and not just the fear that we are free from tonight because of an evil society and an evil world that we live in. And I believe tonight that none of us would doubt that certainly that is the case, and that the day is approaching rather rapidly, I believe. Invite you to open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 10, where we find this phrase taken from. I'd like to back up and begin reading in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10 and read down through verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now tonight, I don't know what you're expecting. There's various ways that one could take this subject, this assignment, and maybe you came here expecting to have me share my view of a lot of what is going to happen, a lot of prophecy, a lot of the future. I have chosen not to do that tonight. I had thought about that, but I've chosen tonight to make this message a little more practical to our time, our day, the day that we're living in, and I want this message to be an encouragement to you. I believe tonight that we find ourselves tonight living in a society that can create a lot of fear in our hearts. And I know there are people who are very fearful. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what your interests are. I don't know what you're following it by the way of news, what you're keeping up with in our world. If you're keeping up with the political world and the things that are happening there, there's many people, yes, within the church that are taken up, especially this year, with the politics and the things that are happening, and the individuals that are campaigning for president and so on. And you know, if you follow that very closely and you keep following the news and the things they're saying and promoting, and you follow all that, there's a lot of fear that can be created in one's heart by doing that. And so tonight, I've chosen to take this message down an avenue of, yes, some practical things. We're going to take most of the message right out of the verses that we just read. I would like to think about some things. As ye see the day approaching, the title would indicate that there is a day coming. There's a time coming. There's a moment coming that we are to observe, one that we're to be looking for, one that we are to anticipate. And I believe tonight that as Bible readers, you would agree with me that this is talking about the Lord's return. And I would like to just take us back to the book of Acts. We have the promise of this day, and I'd just like to, again, I want you to see tonight the promise of this time. We read that scripture tonight in the Genesis class that there are men who doubt the promise, doubt the coming of God. They're saying that he's slacking his promises. And yes, God is being merciful. God is extending time. God is being gracious. He is giving men opportunity to repent, to respond yet. But dear ones, tonight, God is faithful in keeping his promises, just as he has been faithful in many promises in the past. And there's a fulfilling of promises that are happening and are going on every day. Scripture is being fulfilled. The promises of God's word are being fulfilled one after another. Dear ones, tonight, we dare not come to the place where we start saying, yea, hath God said, or where is the promise of his coming? Because his promises are sure, they are fast. Acts chapter 1, and let's begin reading in verse 6. Acts 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, this is the disciples, this is the ones that, the friends of Jesus, the ones that knew him, the ones that had traveled with him. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as they went up, behold, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The promise of the day, brethren and sisters. If you're like me, you probably have often, maybe on a beautiful day, just looked into the sky and saw the clouds and the beauty of, yes, God's creation. I enjoy that. And you thought how it must have been to see Jesus, your friend, the one you had journeyed with, the one that you had learned to know so much about and appreciate, seeing him be taken up in those clouds and he disappeared. Just out of your sight, out of your control, there was nothing you could do. He's gone. He's gone. It tells us in verse 12 that they returned unto Jerusalem. And if we would read on, they gathered together and they worshiped him. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But my point here that I'd like to make is, dear friends, tonight, that same Jesus is going to, in like manner, return, come again. Someday the clouds are going to open up and Jesus is going to come and he's going to be here in our midst all of a sudden. Yes, the church is going to be raptured out. He's going to take the church with him. And that's not where we're going to go tonight. The point I'd like to make is, well, Peter says it like this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. I believe it was one of the verses we looked at tonight, maybe. The day of the Lord will come. Not may come, not can come. It will come. And so tonight, dear ones, tonight, let that promise grip our hearts. Let that be an established truth in our minds that the Lord will come. He will return. It is going to happen. Now, does the anticipation of the day, that thought bring excitement into your heart? I hope it does tonight. I hope that stirs a feeling within you and you say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. You can hardly wait for that time. You know, sometimes we make plans. We anticipate things in life, and we make plans. It might be some plans that you make with some extended family, or maybe you're planning to go on a trip, and it brings excitement into your household. I have plans right now that my youngest daughter keeps saying. Just tonight, she said, just 2 more weeks, and we're going to, you know, talking about those plans that she's anticipating. I can hardly wait, we hear our children say. Is that the feeling that you and I have about this day as we see the day approaching? It ought to be. Secondly tonight, for just a little bit, I'd like to look at what the Bible says about some signs of the approaching day. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. I'd like to just... Yes, Matthew chapter 24, the entire chapter is talking about the signs of the end of the age. We're not going to read it all, but I'd like to read some of it. Matthew 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now we're going to cease reading there. I just want to draw a few points from this passage of Scripture. One of the signs that is going to be a sign that the end is close, he says, is that there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be false prophets. There's going to be deception. Brethren and sisters, are we living in a time tonight when there's a lot of falsehood, a lot of deception around? I believe tonight that we would all agree that we are. There's many that are being deceived. Another thing that he says here is that there are many who are going to, the love of many is going to wax cold. Iniquity is going to abound. Sin is going to abound. And people are going to lose out, is what he's saying. That's going to be a part of the end times. And tonight, it's so sad to say, but you know what? The love of people is growing cold. We see that sometimes even within the church. Iniquity is abounding. Love is growing cold. People are losing out. But verse 13 says, he that shall endure. Those that are faithful, those that remain true and faithful and are not deceived, and endeavor, those who keep on pressing towards the mark of the price of the high calling in Christ Jesus tonight. Dear ones, tonight, we must keep on pushing. We must keep on pressing. The cost is high, but dear ones, the way has been made, and we want to look at that a little later. Before we move on to my next point, I'd like to take you to Luke chapter 21. Yet I'd like to, Luke says a few things about the end times as well, signs of the approaching day. Just a few verses, Luke 21, verse 25. He says here that there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Does that sound familiar? Distress of nations. We could talk a lot about that tonight and what is happening in the world around us and what's happening among nations. I don't plan to do that. Dear ones, the Bible talks, the Bible tells us that that's what is going to happen. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. And verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a great cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Brethren and sisters, as ye see the day approaching, lift up your heads. Get your eyes off the earthly things. Yes, we are in the world, and we need to relate to the world. But Jesus said, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the world. Tonight, my burden is, dear ones, that we keep ourselves free from the world. Let's not get caught up in the things of this life. There are so many things that are necessary and that we must do. Yes, we must make a living. We must relate to a lot of things. But let's not have our focus just on those things. It blesses my heart when brethren get up like the brother did tonight and told us what was going through his mind today. It tells me that men and women, children of God, are thinking more than just making a living and just the things that pertain to life. But their focus is elsewhere, and our focus must be elsewhere. Then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like to connect the thought that we have in our text with this. Hebrews chapter 10, the Apostle Paul makes the appeal to us. We are to hold fast, he says, as we see the day approaching. I'd like to think at this point in time, while we're thinking about the thought of when the day approaches and not having our focus here, but getting our focus heavenward, he says that we are to hold fast as we see the day approaching. We are to reach out, to cry out to God, to anger ourselves in the things of God, to anger ourselves in the truth of God's word. Yes, the promises of God's word, but the principles and the truth of God's word. Paul is saying, hold fast, and we're going to look at some of that just a little bit later, but I'd like to connect that at this point, is to hold fast to the things that God has put in place. And I'd like to look at the things that God has put in place. Let's look at verse 19 in our text. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus. This is talking about the privilege that you and I have as children of God to enter right into the favors of God, right into the presence of God, right into the power source, as it were, the place where we can find everything that we need to be victorious. And I'd like to focus on that for a few moments tonight. The word boldness has some meaning, some interpretations to it that I never thought about. I looked up the word boldness and I was inspired, and I'd like to inspire your hearts tonight with this thought of entering into having therefore, brethren, boldness. One of the things that this word means, that it infers, is that we have the all things. Boldness means all things. And it makes complete sense when you read it like that. Having therefore, brethren, all things to enter in. Tonight we have all things. It is open. God's invitation is there. God wants us to enter in. He's waiting for us to enter in. The boldness, the word boldness also has the idea of confidence. We enter in tonight. The invitation is to enter in with confidence. You don't have to approach God tonight with fear in your heart. Yes, if there's sin in your life, you do. But if the sin question is taken care of and you have the blessing of God, you have the peace of God, you can enter into the throne, enter into the holies, and approach God with confidence tonight. You and I can enter into his presence with confidence. Another word very closely related to it is that of assurance. We enter in with assurance. Having therefore, brethren, confidence to enter in. Having therefore, brethren, the assurance to enter in. We come into the presence of God. And Paul is making the appeal. Come in and hold fast. As ye see the day approaching, come in and hold fast. Because why? Because Jesus, look at verse 20, by a new and living way, he, Jesus, hath consecrated, or opened, we might say, he, Jesus, has opened for us through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh, through his body, dying on the cross, giving his life, he has put the all things in place for us. And because of that tonight, we enter in to a relationship with Christ, with God the Father. Now, I'd like to expound just a little bit more on that in a few moments, but I'd like to say this first. I already alluded to this, but we are living in a fallen, wicked world, full of things that would like to really create fear in our hearts. But I'd like to say tonight, we have all of heaven's power, all of heaven, everything in heaven going for us tonight. We don't have to fear this world and the power of this world and the enemy that's in control in this world. Yes, Satan has power, and Satan has a host of people, a host of demons, a whole host of evil spirits working for him. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Tonight, heaven has so much more for us. Let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I just want you to get, I want your hearts to be thrilled with this idea tonight, if I can just excite you about what all God has for us and how God works. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 3. No, we're going to back up. Let's go to verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us, get this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, and he goes on. We're going to cease reading there. Tonight, when God multiplies something, how fast does it add up? Arithmetic people out here tonight, school scholars, you start adding things together and 1 + 1 = 2. But you start multiplying things and you start having numbers escalate real, real rapidly. Tonight, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Tonight, God has the ability to multiply what we need to make it through safely. God can multiply it. He will do it. God can do it. God will do it. God has abundant storehouses. God has a distribution center like none other tonight. We live in a valley through here where there's a lot of distribution centers. We're all familiar with them. All these big warehouses that are going up. along Interstate 81 through our area. And I have never been in any of them, at least I don't think I was. I've been close to some of them. I don't think I was inside. But up in Carlisle, they tell me that Amazon has one of the warehouses, and it is completely computerized. There's robots that are in there pulling the orders off the shelves. The aisles are very narrow. The shelves are just full from floor to ceiling. And it's all run robotically. They have robots in there getting the orders off the shelf, putting it in boxes, closing boxes up. And there's one of our brethren was in there, and he was describing this, told me, it's just amazing. You think about the distribution system that man has put in place and what all that's doing for our world today. Getting the product to, yes, our world, our businesses, our needs are met very, very rapidly. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about how many truckloads of goods get shipped out of a place like that. There's one not far from our place, and we do up with the truck traffic all the time, and this is just one truck after another, load after load after load that's on the highway. Distribution center that man has put in place, man has really accomplished something, have they not? Well, dear ones, tonight, I can't help but believe that God's up in the high heavens and he looks down and he smiles a little bit and he shakes his head and he says, you know, they really think that they put something together down there. They really think they have a system in place. We have a system. It is a system to be marveled at. But God's system of multiplying, God's system of giving us divine power that pertains unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of him that gives us glory and virtue, and he has the ability to multiply it to us, makes man's distribution centers look so simple. So it's just a little comparison I thought of. I just like to inspire your heart tonight. As you see the day approaching, and as you see fear setting, as you see things that want to set fear into your heart, dear ones, tonight, God has so much more that he can give to us, that he can, yes, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The second thing, let's go back again to our text. I'd like to take a few points out of our text. The second thing that I'd like to pull out of our text is that as we see the day approaching, God desires that you tap into his resources, that you come into a closer relationship with him. Notice verse 22. Here Paul says that as we see the day approaching, one of the things we are to do is let us draw near to God. Yes, with a true heart, doing away with dishonesty and unbelief and lying and doubting and fear and all those things that want to creep into our hearts. Take care of those things. Do away with those things. Get a grip on those things. Get a grip on your emotions. And draw near with a true heart in full assurance. A true heart. No pretense tonight. God wants you. He wants all of you. He doesn't want just part of us. He wants all of us. And he wants a true heart. He desires truth in the inward parts, David said. Tonight, that's what God wants. And when God has that, God can do so much. God can meet our needs. God can heal our emotions. God can heal our hearts. God can take away the fear that wants to enter into our heart. So he says, draw near with this true heart, and having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Tonight, God wants to clean us up, and he wants to keep us clean, and he wants us to enjoy the relationship with him, and he wants us to keep drinking at his fountains of living water, is what he does. He told that Samaritan woman that if you knew who you were talking to and you knew what I have to offer you and you would ask, I would give you that water that you would never thirst again. That's what God wants to do for you and I tonight. God doesn't want us running around in this world hungry and thirsty and dissatisfied and not content in life. That's not what God wants. God has the ability to give us, to multiply, to put all those things. He has the distribution center tonight, dear ones. He will meet our needs if you and I just draw near to Him and allow Him to fill us. Do you realize tonight, and I'm just one of you, I know what it's like. You know what? When we don't meditate, we don't drink in God's word, we don't communicate with God, we don't draw as close to God as we ought to, those are the times when trouble starts setting into our experience, is it not? It's when doubt and fear and turmoil starts taking a hold of our lives. It's not because God moved anywhere. God's still there. God still has that divine wisdom, power, and grace. He still has the ability to multiply it in our experience. But we're not allowing Him to do it. We have backed up in our experience. Our focus has gone elsewhere. As we see the day approaching, we're not focused as we ought to be. And that's why we sometimes have the struggles and the problems that we do. As you see the day approaching, dear ones, draw nigh, draw close. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants all of you. Number three, as we see the day approaching, we ought to be putting our faith into action more and more and more, I'd like to say it tonight. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another, consider others. And he goes on about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'd like to talk about that a little later. But first of all, I'd like to talk about the profession of faith. Tonight, what is a profession? What does one do when he has a profession? Does he keep it hid? Do you know that he has a profession? Do you know it's his profession when he really, truly has a profession? Tonight, when one has something that he professes to be, whatever that might be, in whatever area it might be, but when someone is in business or someone is, yes, take a doctor, for instance, you will know that he is a doctor by the look of things. You don't have to talk to him very long at all until you realize what his profession is, what his life is taken up in. And he will look like a doctor. He will talk like a doctor. There's just a lot of characteristics that go along with a man that has a profession and puts himself into the profession. That makes it noticeable that, look, this is what he is. Tonight, God wants you and I to do the same thing with our Christian lives, to show society, the world, our neighbors, the community, those around us, that we have been with God. We have been with Jesus. Our profession tonight is being followers of God, being one of His, promoting the things of God. And so we will talk like Jesus would have us talk. We will look like Jesus would have us look. We will condone the things. We will have this profession, and there's not going to be a lot of question about our profession. Well, when one has a profession, he puts that profession to action as well, does he not? He gets busy with that profession. He doesn't just say, this is what I am. It doesn't last very long just saying, look, this is who I am and this is what I represent. But there needs to be some action with it. And God wants you and I to be in action tonight. Hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, because it says God's going to be faithful from His end. But then in verse 24, He says, let us consider one another and provoke unto love and to good works. Our faith is put into action when we consider others. When we look around the world, society around us, and we see the needs that are there, we see the broken hearts, we see the broken homes, we see the discouraged people that are around us, we see people in need, and we do something about it. we reach out, we encourage, we share, we help in whatever ways we can. Tonight, and I believe this needs to happen in church life as well, right here in this congregation, I trust tonight that you're considering one another and you're provoking one another. That word provoking, in the sense that it's used here, means a sharpening of the feelings. The feelings that the day is approaching and that we are God's and that we have something to live for. And tonight you're reaching out to each other and you're stirring that feeling in each other. You know, it's so beautiful. We come together in ways like this tonight and we encourage each other. And we go out these doors and we go back to our jobs tomorrow and we think about our fellowship together tonight and the encouragement that we received, and it just does something for us. You're a child of God. You got to be faithful. There's brethren and sisters that are depending on you. Those kind of thoughts go with us. Think of the brother's encouragement that you received last night in the church service. That's what he's telling us that we are to do, and so much more as we see the day approaching. We are to be encouraging each other. We're to be sharpening the feelings of each other for the things of God, unto love and good works. Yes, is what he's saying here. I'd like to say a few things about that. I believe tonight that our faith is put into action when we gather together as a church. He talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That means tonight that when there's church, we ought to be at church, right? When the church gets together, we don't miss out. We want to be at church. Yes, we've had a lot of sickness going around in our churches in the last little while, last several months. During this time of winter Bible school, it seemed like it's been everywhere. It's not just been here at Calvary. It's been everywhere else as well. And a lot of people missed out on church, but that ought to, you know, we ought to want to be there. And yes, there ought to be reasons why, good reasons for us not being there. I'd like to say a few things that I believe happened in church when we are there. I've been talking about worry and fear and those kind of things that want to set in. I believe tonight that worry and fear can be dissolved in the church. What I mean by that is when worry and fear enters into our life, which we all have it sometimes. I will admit tonight there are times in my life when I start worrying about things, and I tell myself, now stop it, but you keep at it, and after a while you start having this tinge of fear in your life because of what you're worrying about. And you know what? You come together in the assembly of God, and you're sitting there, and a brother gets up and he starts having devotions, and his whole devotions might not even relate to your whole fear and the whole thing, but he might say one thing in there that you just say, look, get rid of this fear. Get rid of this worry you've been worrying about. It's and you dwell on something altogether different. You think about it from a whole new avenue. And you get a grip on that. It's gone. You find yourself having victory over that. On the other side, I believe that faith and courage are strengthened in the church. There are times we get together and the same thing happens and we find encouragement. And so tonight I'd like to say that we should be at church. We ought to be there for those reasons, because of what it does for our inner man. Fourthly tonight, we ought to be at church because it tells us that we are to exhort one another. That talks about our presence being there. And I'd like to say something about exhorting one another tonight. Tonight, exhorting one another is not just a job that the other person does. You don't come to church just to be exhorted. But friends, tonight, you come to church to exhort at times. Yes, we don't always feel like exhorting, and we aren't always inspired and aren't always ready to exhort others. But we should be. I think we should. That should be our aim. That should be one of our goals. And as we come together to church, and the point I want to make tonight, if you're just coming into church to get out of church, what you can get out and never put anything into it, brethren and sisters, you're missing the point. There's something wrong. In fact, you're probably not going to get all that much out of church all the time if that's your attitude. that tonight, brethren and sisters, all of us, church members tonight, young and old together, we ought to be coming into the house of God ready to participate, ready to put, yes, something into the service, ready to exhort one another. Every member should exhort. Don't just expect tonight to receive exhortation. And he says so much more as we see the day approaching. Well, I'm going to bring this message to a close by giving you the alternative that is left. If you don't take what I told you tonight, if that's not an encouragement tonight, if you don't rise to the challenge tonight to enter in boldness and live for Jesus and make your faith alive in the community you live in, in the day that we're living, because I do believe tonight that the day is approaching, and I believe the Lord is going to return, and the doors are going to be closed. Opportunity is going to be passed. Well, tonight, the only alternative that is left, we find in the rest of this chapter. Follow after, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Tonight, that's the alternative. If you tonight are not ready to enter into the boldness into the holies tonight and experience the things that God has for us to experience, that's the alternative. That's what's left. Tonight, my desire for all of us is let's put ourselves into it. I don't think we doubt tonight whether the day is approaching. But as we see the day approaching, let's keep encouraging one another. God bless you.